The following is a presentation of ComedyVoices.com.
Yeah, another episode of In the Conversation.
Somebody's missing. Guess who won the Powerball? Tune in and find out. Peace.
Check in and subscribe to your favorite show on ComedyVoices.com. Powered by digital media. Find your voice. Stand Up Labs and UCB Comedy lead the way in bringing you one laugh after another on ComedyVoices.com, a digital media production.
Coming to you from the top of the Stand Up New York Comedy Club, this is a Stand Up Labs production powered by ComedyVoices.com. Find your voice.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, craziest Dominican you know, Vladimir Camaño, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. We are in the conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And on my right hand side, I got
El Capitano Vladimir Psych.
Nah, that man is not here. Shout out to Vlad. He is on his VLAD situation on the West Coast, putting in work. If you do get a chance, wish that man a happy belated. Birthday was on the 10th, so shout him out, you know. But on my left hand side,
you know what it is.
You
got Ali Muhammad all up in the building. You know what I'm saying?
What's good?
Chilling.
Hey, you went from drop to humble, all up in the building. How you doing? I'm chilling. I'm fine.
I'm doing well. I'm okay. How about you, David?
I'm doing rather fine myself.
That's stupendous.
Hey, welcome to LinkedIn, the podcast.
No doubt.
We talk with our interview voice.
No doubt. But we here, man. You know what I'm saying? It's been cool out here.
It's been cold out here, actually.
Been cold, in you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's winter.
It is winter.
Winter's really trying to be winter now, all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you know, I'm all good with it. It gave us time.
I felt like winter should have just stayed going. You know how you got like somebody in your family that's been out your life until shit start getting good, and they're going to come back. You like, winter, now you want to be in my life?
You hit the Powerball.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Are you playing the Powerball?
My wife made me play one, at least one number.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
One ticket?
Yeah, one ticket. I don't fuck with the lotto like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, my wife posed the supposition of, well, if I hit, you're not going to spend none of the money. What you going to do if I hit?
I like that she drew the line.
Like, well, shit, I'm going to spend some of that shit.
It's 1.5. You can't be in the same household with me with 1.5 and not break me off.
Shit. But I ain't no advocate of it.
Yo, is this the highest it's ever been? $1.5 billion?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's ridiculous.
Shit crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, I just see what the, you know what I'm saying? I had a grandma that played the number. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She used to, you know, she was all the way back from Cleveland. So she used to work with Don King in the number situation for a minute. So
in what capacity?
I don't know.
Because you say Don King, you know, shit get a little dubious.
You know, it's in the numbers operation. So you know that, you know, okay. How you be, how your legend.
Okay.
You know she used to work for Don King.
Crazy ass Don. This before he was in jail?
No, this was a numbers runner.
Okay. Because you know Don went to prison for murder.
A lot of people who ran the numbers went to jail.
No, but I'm saying, was this pre-prison time or this post?
I think after prison time, they ran him out of Cleveland. He got into boxing.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He was doing his business.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying? But you know, it get to a point where the number becomes a real thing where, you know what I'm saying, people start to base their situation off of if they hit the number or not.
Oh, yeah. You start to imagine your lifestyle already.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you young, your grandma hit you with, you know, yeah, baby, I'm going to go ahead and get you that when I hit my number.
Oh, yeah. You know, with that
bug. Then the number come out, you be like, dang, you hit that number? Then after a while, you be like, oh, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, but it's false hope.
Yeah, then you see how much energy people, you know what I'm saying, invest in if they hit or just the you know what I'm saying, what if I hit, what I'm going to do when I hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of energy going to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of visualization. A lot of, you know, it's like that might have been the first vision board.
You know what I'm saying?
That when I hit the number shit.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I try not to get caught up in that vision and, you know, try to keep my vision on. And I don't mean to, you know, poo-poo on the Powerball because, like I said.
Talk your shit.
Like I said, you know what I'm saying, my wife did want to play that shit and I played it.
I'll be honest, I only play the shit when it get up at least above 500 million.
Right.
Because at that point, it becomes a frenzy, and it's almost like the culture. It's like not going to see a certain movie.
Right.
1.5. I won't lie. Last time, I think it was up about 500 million. This was the last time I might have played Powerball. Maybe the only time I've ever played Powerball. Because Powerball is kind of new. Like, Powerball used to, I don't even think it was in New York at first. It used to be kind of down south in certain places.
Right.
We used to have New York Lotto. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the Powerball, which I don't even know what the difference is between the two. It's just Powerball seemed like they got a lot more paper.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a collective unit of all of Lotto players.
I guess it's the entire United States.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me not get to talking that shit. But, yeah, when it got up to 500 million, I definitely bought one or two tickets, and I definitely walked to the train with a whole new lifestyle on my mind. A whole new situation. Okay, so I'm going to be getting this. I'm going to pull up in that. I'm probably not going to do that no more. You know what I mean? I'm doing a couple calls. I'm already thinking about how I'm going to slide off the grid.
No doubt.
Because the thing about the Powerball, if I'm not mistaken, or the Lotto, I think if you win, you have to do at least a public, like they gotta see your face.
Well, not necessarily. There's some states that you don't have to go publicly. It's like three or four states where you don't have to do it publicly. I did this shit after I played the number. I was caught up in my lifestyle.
Of course.
Change.
You got
moment.
To.
And then I actually saw, you know, a list of the other winners, and I'm clicking on them to see, you know what I'm saying, if they show themselves.
Uh-huh.
And then not all of them show them. There's one dude in his picture, he put the check in front of his face.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know what I'm saying?
That's slick.
And I read his story. I think he might have motherfucking went and changed his name before he went and picked up his ticket because the name looked kind of weird. And then it said it took him a month to come in and claim the prize.
Because
he said he went, you know what I'm saying, put together his financial team and all this
hilarious shit.
And then he came in, you know what I'm saying, because he was worried about, know how it's gonna affect the situation.
He's worried about them damn kids he got.
I'm like, well, shit, that's a good ass idea.
Yeah.
Go in and just change the whole scenario.
What would you do? That's the you know, the ultimate question. What would be the first thing you do when you find out you hit the number? Not even the first three things.
I'm about like, dude, I'm gonna call some of the, you know what I'm saying, financial planner motherfuckers I know off rip.
That you know?
That I know.
Okay, that you know,
mm-hmm.
That you could trust.
Well, you know, who?
Because who you know? Like, do you know somebody trust with, like, you got 1.5? And how do you?
I don't know if you could trust with 1.5 billion, but you
know
what I'm saying?
That's call one?
Call one is motherfucking, hold up now. How the fuck I'm going to slide off the grid, like you said?
Okay.
Shit, I might have to go change my name a little bit for the go claim.
Uh-huh. But you, before all of this, so call. But before all of this, you gonna have a meeting in the house or?
I don't know.
Dude, let's get everything together.
We
got
me and my wife gotta have a meet. We gonna be on the same page.
Okay.
Nobody ain't gonna know this shit.
Okay.
We about to take our time. We gonna slow walk this shit. You know what I'm saying? We gonna slow walk ourselves to the motherfucking shit. We ain't gonna go in there willy nilly, take the picture.
Get caught up.
Get caught out there.
Why everybody still know your coordinates?
I'm going to try to do it as best I can with nobody knowing.
So first thing you do, you call your financial people. What's number two and three? What you do?
I don't know. I don't motherfucking know.
What would be the first thing you buy?
My life back. Pay all this debt.
Fuck out of here, Sally.
Buy my
man.
Life back.
Mortgage.
Give me my life back.
Buy your freedom.
Buy my freedom.
I could dig that.
I'll be freer than a motherfucker. Woo. I would never, no loans, no more ever.
Dude, I think about that shit. You know, the thing about the power, I thought about, you know how you think about it. It's so ridiculous to even fathom this, but. First thing I thought about, this is my line of thinking. I was like, damn, if I won $1.5 billion, I'd feel like that would fuck up my whole life.
It would.
In the way that, but like, nah, not even in the, I mean, it'd be for the good and the bad, but in professionally, that's why I wanted to know if you could be anonymous, because the thing is, and even if I was anonymous, I had $1.5 billion, I'm going to change anyway, but my thing is, I do comedy, and part of doing comedy is being able to relate to motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? And you notice, like, you see when certain comedians get real big, they start talking about rich shit, and yeah, they're not even billionaires.
Right, right, right.
Like, but they got to that point by putting in a lot of work,
right,
that has brought you into where they at least got a body of work that, right, you're like, okay, that's how he became that guy.
Right.
You become an overnight billionaire? And want to go do some jokes talking about, woo, fuck, I can't talk to y'all motherfuckers.
You're going to spend the first 5 years just acclimating to your new life.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And you might not ever acclimate to it. You know what I'm saying? That's why, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers just like, straight, I'm going to just snort all the cocaine. Fuck it.
You saw that on the news? My yeah, man said, cocaine and hookers.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like becoming famous overnight, how some cats just trip out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, shit, it's a lot going on.
It's almost like too much opportunity. You know, like when you go to a diner and they give you a big ass menu and it's just too many fucking options. You're like, right, I don't know what to eat here. What's going on? Right. Like a fucking $1.5 billion. Who are your peers? You don't even got who you can't got, even.
You can't go nowhere.
Who you talk to?
You can't go to no billionaire shit. Cause they don't want you.
They don't. Cause they don't. That's like crossing. That's like crossing pep. Like crossing paper. You know how like the Greeks, when you don't get pledged, like when you don't get hazed,
right,
you get the paper.
Right.
You a paper ass billionaire. We don't. You ain't earned that.
No,
shit.
No, you not. You not in that club.
You a lucky motherfucker.
You ain't in that club. You know what I'm saying? You can't go back to the hood.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't. You could send some money.
That's it.
Send for some
even when you do, you take care of everybody's shit, it ain't gonna be the same.
No. Cause everybody gonna want their payout to be a little better than what you giving them.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
And they pay out, they gonna blow through theirs real quick and be back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So then what? You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
It's fucked up out there. So, you alone. You know when they say it's lonely at the top?
Yeah, ain't that a bitch?
That shit is lonely.
And nobody want to hear that shit. Nobody going to feel sorry for you and your new billionaire lifestyle.
I want to hear that shit.
I can't relate no more because I'm fucking filthy rich.
I'm filthy rich and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
When the last time you told a joke? Man, shit, go, man. Shit.
No jokes.
You know what I'm saying? I financed this movie and that shit was trash.
Really?
You just be doing shit just to do it.
Just doing shit. Just watching TV and see it. I might actually go on like on YouTube or something to look up like lifestyles of the rich and famous. All of the rich shit that because certain, when you in a certain economic bracket or a certain tax bracket, it could, if you allow it to, it can dictate your aspiration and imagination.
No doubt. There's
certain shit that's just rich people shit that you just write off.
Right.
Now you got to go study what it is to be wealthy. Not even rich, but wealthy.
Right. I mean, so just imagine, like, you know what I'm saying, what rappers and ball players go through. Like LeBron, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He came out from the hood,
yeah,
and just became instantly rich as fuck.
Yeah, but even still.
No. I'm not saying, I'm not comparing it.
No, I hate
I'm
you.
Not comparing it. Mm-hmm. But LeBron as a teenager in the hood,
yeah,
is definitely way different than 5 years later, LeBron.
Oh,
especially
cool.
10 years later. Like LeBron now, he might as well be a rich white dude.
He's good. As Chappelle said, I'm white on paper.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that shit.
Like his lifestyle experience is, you know what I'm saying? He a real official rich motherfucker that's trying to be a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He got time for all that other shit.
Nah.
And then when you are that cat that try to, you know, keep it, you know, you keeping it funky.
Fuck around, get shot.
You gonna fuck around, get robbed.
And nobody
get shot,
gonna give a fuck.
You know what I'm saying? And you got the target on his back. You gotta drag 100 cats around. You Allen Iverson.
I always say nobody go to the funeral of the guy who should have known better. I'll tell you that. That's
you
real.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, how you don't stay the same.
Gotta
you
be
can't
different.
Take everybody with you.
You don't even know how to be different. You know you got to be different, but you don't even know what that shit is. You're right. Like, fuck.
So you see cats making it up on the fly. You LeBron making the shit up as he go along.
He got his homies managing and agent. You know.
And that's good. He did than most.
He did.
He did better. He brought some cats along that, you know what I'm saying, that has an official capacity to make it happen on their own, with their own official shit. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, he did that because, one, as I said before, they had a time, like there was a runway. You know what I mean? You knew he was going to take off. As long as the knee don't blow out and the ACL don't get fucked up, you felt like, okay, this... If you get down, you need to be in some capacity. You need to be able to understand that this is about to become a business. Mm-hmm. But you had proper time to kind of get your shit together and go read some books and all of that, or whatever, whatever. Sit down, meet some people. But shit, not when you a billionaire on Friday and you was broke as shit on Thursday.
You ain't got nothing together,
Chris. What would you get?
I did a little bit of research. I think I'm going to buy a hockey team.
Okay, which one?
Well, the Panthers from Florida, they sold for $160 million in 2013. So I figure $220 million, something like that.
That's your
money
budget
left over. Yeah, I'll buy the Panthers.
That's your hockey budget. You're like, I'm not paying anything, but I'm saying, okay, what else?
I mean, that's as far as I got so far. I figured I'll have to move to Florida. That's going to be a whole thing.
Listen, if I win 1.5, I am not going to Florida. No disrespect, but it's tough out there for niggas sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
anywhere outside of Miami.
Okay. I like how you kept that real. You know,
when you leave Miami, it's a different kind of Florida.
It is. It's a, ooh.
It's a different Florida. Once you pass, you know what I'm saying, that southern region, you in some real, you know what I'm saying, you liable to see some swamps and some alligators and shit.
What would be the first thing you buy, though? You got to buy something.
I'm going to get the crib.
The crib?
I'm gonna get the crib.
Where?
I don't know.
Staying here?
Can't really live in Bed-Stuy if everybody knows.
No, I'm not gonna say you're in Bed-Stuy. I'm talking about you gonna stay in New York.
If I can stay anonymous, I live in Bed-Stuy. Part time. You can stay anonymous.
It's gonna be tough.
But if not, buddy, you got to get the fuck on.
You gotta go. I might go to another country for a while. I might be low for a minute.
What happened to D?
I don't even know, man. I don't know what happened to that motherfucker. I got to figure it out. I figure out an exit plan. That's a good problem to have, though. Would you rather that, or would you want those problems?
I mean, I
can't look a gift horse in the mouth now.
Nah, you can't really say you wouldn't take the problems. You know what I'm saying?
He's a billionaire problems now.
He's a billionaire problem. You know, I would accept the problems. I'm a problem solver.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I think when you become a billionaire, there's people that will get your number that you don't even know, just to let you know that they know. Like, it's gotta be the Illuminati's gonna call you.
Well, at a billion, I don't know if it's the Illuminati.
Somebody,
you're gonna get the call. Goddammit,
somebody. You're gonna get invited. Something.
You're gonna get that. You know what I mean? Might not be an invite, but it's gonna be a. You know what I'm saying? Let you know. Here's what you not gonna do. They run down the laundry list.
First of all, the government, we need our piece.
They're going to get theirs off the rip. Mm-hmm. They probably take that before you leave the goddamn lotto office.
Can I ask you guys this question that I've been thinking about? Because after taxes, whatever, it's going to end up being like $800 million. It's like a ton of money. Is that almost irresponsible to just give some potential dummy $800 million? Because that's like... world-ruining amount of money, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, again, there's going to be a conversation.
Yeah, you could become sinister with you could buy, like, a droid and bomb some shit if you wanted to.
Believe, any motherfucker in the United States with $800 million...
is a threat.
...is going to have that conversation.
What you mean? What kind of
conversation? That conversation that you're not finna be a motherfucker threat. So listen here.
Yeah.
All they not finna let a motherfucker just run wild with $800 million. You know what I'm saying? That's why all the motherfuckers who really get it and work for it and get that shit, they get real low. And then they start talking about, like, I'm gonna give all this shit away so my kids ain't gotta deal with this shit. And give them enough to live on.
Well, that's a whole nother thing, too. I mean, what is enough to live on?
Shit, if you got, like, say you got the Bill Gates name, you could live on that alone. and his money done financed all of these institutions, you're going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? All of the houses and fucking all that shit is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask
that's
you.
It. You, what else you need to live?
1.5. Let me ask you this. You got 1.5 billion. Break it down after tax. You got 800 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to give. Okay, so you got your family. You got your pops.
Mm-hmm.
You got your moms and all of that, right? You gotta cut that family check. Now, how much is too little, and then how much is too much? Let's be honest. Got 800. They know you got 800 million because they saw the paper.
No doubt.
At what point does $1 million check become disrespectful?
It's already disrespectful. You got 800, you give me one?
Nigga!
I brought you into this world.
You motherfucker!
She might sneeze at 20.
Yeah.
You got 800, and then shit.
Can I get 200?
Exactly. That's
shit.
Shit. Mm-mm. That's 800 people you can give $1 million. We only got 50.
I saw some backwards-ass math on Twitter. Did you see this shit talk about... I don't have the shit in front of me, but somebody tried to break down the, well, it's $1.5 million, and it's $300 million. So basically, if you just give everybody $1 million, like everybody, you could save fucking poverty in the world. This nigga didn't, like, he didn't do the decimal points or the commas or something. Well,
but, you know what I'm saying, Tupac said.
What Tupac said?
Tupac said, you know, is, and he was talking about a way smaller number, like $35 million. He's like, you know what I'm saying? If you just got $35 million to give away to one person, you know what I'm saying? It's obvious that a lot of these problems we have in this country can be solved.
True indeed.
You know what I'm saying? If you got, you're just going to give $35 million to one person.
Yeah.
You're going to give $800 million to one motherfucker. Give it to him.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? But they know all that shit coming right back. That shit like welfare.
Well, hey, that's the, this, I haven't watched it, but I forget who told me about this. There's like a documentary series called Curse of the Lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, most people that win the lottery are broke within a few years.
Right.
Nigga, if I go broke from 800 million.
You know, it might take you a while. You're going to live a hell of a life.
I'm going to live a hell of a life.
You know what I'm saying? If you go, but see the thing, man, it's like Monopoly money, man. You just, they put it out there, it's going to come right back. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna feed the restaurants and the car places and the, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna,
you gotta spend
a lot of brokers gonna get money, you know what I'm saying? A lot of financial cats gonna get money, gonna fleece them. Yeah. I mean, the shit is gonna go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might keep some of it, but a lot of that shit is gonna go.
Especially if it's easy come, it's easy go.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
You can't, you know.
And it's just to a point where, you know, all right, we could put, that's a, like, stimulus to the economy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Monopoly money.
Would you feel obligated to help the people?
Which people?
The people.
Which people? Is
the people, the less fortunate.
I'm keeping it as vague as it is. It depends. What the knock on the door say. That's why the lotto money ain't shit, bro.
Shit. I have to see it to believe it. I haven't played yet. Shit. I might wait till it go up to 2 billion.
It might not.
No.
Got to be in it to win it.
That's what they say.
You know, I'm gonna help some of the people.
Some of the people.
Okay. I'm gonna help. You know what I'm saying? Try to, you know, spread as much knowledge and teach man how to fish as possible.
Are you gonna have the time to go teach somebody how to fish?
Well, I gotta do it.
Oh, so you
got money?
Oh, I assumed the role already.
I got money. I'm gonna bring in the masters from all over the world to teach the people.
That's the shit that I really, that's the best part about having all this money, because you now got access, hopefully, you got access to the masters. Like, I want to sit down with Jay.
We got access already, so give us a billion.
Come on, I mean, shit. I want to sit down with some motherfuckers, though.
You know what I'm saying? You'll get that sit down, because you'll be able to get in the room.
Yeah, I hope so.
You'll be able to get in. Which room you can't get in?
I don't know, you never know. You never know. Like you said, they might look down their nose at you, because they know... You just won this money, man. What did you do?
You could book Jay.
I think so. I think so.
Jay, come on.
How much? Jay might ask a lot of money.
I'm
not even going to let Jay know I got 800 million, because that's going to affect his quote.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to know a blonde, what's your quote? What's your rate?
No doubt.
Don't worry about what my budget is. Just what's your rate? Don't tell me, you know. Who knows?
And then, you know, you get that. There ain't no audience. It's just you and him.
Just have a conversation, man.
Jay-Z in the conversation.
Yeah. Have him on the podcast. You know ain't that saying? A bitch?
D probably won't even show up to the podcast.
I had to do that shit via Skype. It'd all be Skyped out.
I mean, at that kind of money, you could have us wherever you at.
Skyped out, flying in.
You know what I'm saying?
We always on a jet. That's what we do. Every podcast, we take place on a jet.
We on the jet.
Yeah. Pardon me, that's some turbulence. My bad.
We, you know what I'm saying? We over the Mediterranean right now.
You know.
The sunset is stupendous.
You know what I mean? Snow crabs. Brand, these are live. These snow crabs was live. We just flew out to Alaska, just had them killed.
Damn, D, you had that damn. What's that medicine you got?
That EpiPen?
Oh,
man.
Your EpiPen's on deck.
With an extra clip. Man, fucking Powerball, man. Powerball. Good luck to y'all. If you hit, send us a couple. Send us some money. If you hit this good luck that we giving you right now in your ear canal and you win $1.5 billion. Shoot us a cool million. That's all we want. Just for inspiring you.
Just for the inspiration.
Exactly. Exactly.
And another one.
Another one.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, man. What's going on out here? El Chapo done dipped up out of there and got caught.
Well, you know. He back in again.
Fuck it with Sean Penn. I told you that guy's bad news.
You think Sean Penn turned him in?
I don't know.
He got the info?
I don't know if he turned him in. I don't really fuck with Sean Penn like that. So, I just think he's a clown. But who knows? Maybe.
You think Sean Penn was the mole, the snitch?
I mean, look, even if Sean Penn was the snitch, I got to look at El Chapo sideways, though. You just escaped prison.
Mm-hmm.
And you reaching out to a celebrity, an actor, who has no invest, like he's not invested in your freedom at all and keeping you free.
Mm-hmm.
To play you in a movie, supposedly, to have a conversation that shit is weird.
Maybe he knows at a certain point it's going to be the end of the road. He might just want to keep his legacy going. But, and at the same time, you don't know how many other motherfuckers he met with while he was, you know what I'm saying? This man said he got submarines and missiles. Shit, he probably meet with all kind of motherfuckers.
He probably did. Well, because then I'm thinking, if I was a Latino actor, I'd feel a way. Why are you going to pick a white man to play El Chapo in the El Chapo story?
Maybe he just picked him to produce it.
I think El Chapo got enough money to produce some shit.
El Chapo know he gonna be in jail. He probably gonna produce it, but you know what I'm saying? He knows the end of the road.
Yeah.
He gonna be still alive in jail. He ain't gonna be dead in jail. He gonna still run his shit. You think it's that hard?
To what?
It's regular niggas that run their shit from jail.
That's true. He might be more comfortable in jail.
You know, or it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because
it matters.
Listen. It's certain people that live the life. And they know what the life is. They know what the life entails. And if they got to go standing, like, as they say, I do that shit standing on my head.
They content.
And it's not content. They don't want to be there, but that's the price of the game.
Exactly.
And it's certain people that go in jail, and they don't live like regular jail cats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They might have restrictions and shit like that, but they don't live like the regular jail cat.
Yeah.
And they running their operation. They might be selling the tobacco or the whatever and making more money in there than cats that work their job every day.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's cats that understand it. They stand up and it's this what it is. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to go ahead and do it. You know what I'm saying? I still got my shit running. Let a motherfucker cross me on the outside. Act like I can't get to him.
I'm a little disappointed. I thought El Chapo was free for good. I thought, like, you know, when I just felt like they tunneled that. It just seemed so, like, and this was his second time.
Which makes him believe it can't be happening again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I was a little, when I heard the news, El Chapo, not that I gave a fuck. Like, I mean, I know he's a horrible person. He's probably done some crazy shit. But I was a little disappointed. I was like, damn, Chapo, I thought you was going to be the one.
Still, at the end of the day, he still came out not dead.
So, that's true.
As long as he ain't dead, he still got the opportunity
that's a good point.
Make moves and, you know what I'm saying, keep shit popping.
That's a good point. He's not dead.
Because some cats, you know,
motherfuckers get killed.
Left dead.
For much less.
For way much less.
Much less.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, not having the tail light out.
Reaching for your wallet.
Well, ain't this a bitch.
You know what I'm saying? Stealing some cigarillas.
Shout out to El Chapo. Oh, shit. What else is going on? Speaking of Sean Penn, the Golden Globes.
Yeah, that
just passed.
I never watched the Golden Globes, but I spent some time with it this time.
All right. What made you do that?
It was on.
All
right. You know what I'm saying? And, and you know, I flipped by and saw, you know, Denzel and Jamie sitting up there in the front row.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Showing some love.
Yeah.
So I watched it. That shit looked like it was lit up in that motherfucker.
Oh, it always be a good let's get drunk, open bar situation.
I know that. That shit like a motherfucker.
It's like a vibe, or like a Quincy Jones.
You know what I'm saying? That motherfuckers in there getting lit.
They getting twisted.
They can't remember their speech. They get up there talking.
And they don't give a fuck.
Talking crazy.
Yeah.
Denzel got up there and showed his ass.
He showed he was old. I mean, I started to see.
You know, or drunk, or both.
Probably both. Well, you saw Denzel throughout the whole shit looking bored with the entire telecast. Like, he was dead ass center front row looking at this shit like, what is this shit here? What is these motherfuckers talking? When? At what point are they going to bring me to the stage so I get the fuck out of here? This is some other shit. I like the fact that he brought his whole
squad,
his whole family up there. I thought that was pretty cool.
You know what I'm saying? He got up there, you know what I'm saying, talked this talk, and you know, but it just seemed like everybody was lit.
Yeah, nah, it was some good points, man. What were some of your favorite moments?
Of course, you know what I'm saying? I like the Denzel shit, I like what Jamie did.
That was funny.
You know what I'm saying? even I can't even remember the joke.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But the chick who had the cleavage all the way out, she didn't have big breasts, but she had the green dress with the cleavage dropped all the way down.
I didn't see that.
It was just wide open space.
It was no titty?
It was a little bitty, itty bitties.
So what was funny about it?
It wasn't that. The cleavage wasn't what was funny. They was making some jokes up there that I thought was funny. I can't even remember my
by herself?
Joke. Nah, she was up there with another motherfucker.
What are you talking about with Eva LaGoria and America Ferrara? Where they?
Nah, I thought
that was funny. You see that when they came out and America Ferrara and Eva Longoria came out, two Latina actresses, and they were like, "Well, I'm not another Latina actress, right. And I'm not this one." And then another person was like, "And we're both not Rosario Dawson." And then they was like, "And then they were like, good job, such and such. Good job. Oh, good job, Salma. Good job, Charo." I thought that shit was kind of slick. Yeah. That was cool. The Jamie shit was funny as hell.
Shit was funny.
He just funny as a mother.
Yeah, it was a lot of subliminal joints in there that you had to catch.
Did you notice that all of the black shit was within a 10-minute segment?
I did not.
Everything black.
I must have caught the black segment.
Yeah, you caught the.
But I didn't see Taraji, though.
Oh, that was the end of the black segment. That's okay. Where it all ended at. Yeah. That was it. It ended with cookies.
No doubt. But, you know, at least it's a black segment now.
Yeah, you go. We doing pop-ups.
Hey, man.
Everywhere.
Shit, man. It's opening up. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like that room probably wasn't that open back in the day.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You probably had a couple.
Yeah, yeah. Now we was out there. It was deep. It was Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. So I just thought it was interesting. I never knew how wild it was up in there.
You saw the Leo and Lady Gaga shit?
Yeah.
You think he was clowning or you think that just was just the moment they caught on camera? Because it looked either way.
I think, you know what I'm saying? I think that was the vibe of the whole joint. It was a lot of subliminal clowns and little sneak punches and shit like that going on.
Yeah.
I took it as that was the vibe of the show.
Yeah.
Because I had never seen the shit before.
Okay. I know what I'm saying?
But you could tell that, you know what I'm saying, it's basically a club. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because everybody that got up there made sure they shouted the club out. You know what I'm saying?
I like to
thank Duff Warren Press.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They trying to come back.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Keep me on the list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was very that. It wasn't no secret that let me pay homage.
I like when Denzel said in his speech, he was like, yo, I forget the guy's name that brought him in. He was like, this what you going to do? Random
gonna
play.
Shake the hands.
Shake the hands.
Take the pictures.
Go
with
hold
the magazine.
And you're going to win it. And yeah, I won that.
I won the award that year.
That was slick than a motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying? So you could tell that shit is a club, and if your ass ain't in it.
You ain't in that.
You ain't in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to, what's Denzel's wash? It's his wife, Pauletta?
Pauletta.
Yeah, that was a real moment when she was like, you got your glasses on? Nah, I don't need my glasses. And 2 seconds later, that Black Man Pride had to break down. And then Jamie was like, I got some glasses. He was like, nah, fuck it. Nigga, this motherfucker's just going to have to get overlooked.
He thought about the memes. He was like, shit, I ain't gonna give him an Uncle Denzel. Hilarious. I ain't gonna give him another Uncle Denzel.
Can't do this, not twice.
Y'all ain't finna clown me.
I felt like I almost got through unscathed.
You know what I mean? You ain't finna clown me.
Ah, shit, man.
Shit. We had back in the day did this Oscar special with Bev on with for BET.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the people that she interviewed.
Bevy Smith.
Okay. Yeah, I'm old school calling the Bev.
Yeah. Past In the Conversation guest. Actually, our first In the Conversation guest. Y'all should check that episode out. Really good.
And he talked about, you know what I'm saying, first time he was at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And he had his mother there. And after the joint was over, she was like taking the little centerpiece flowers, telling them to, you know, bring the centerpiece flowers to the limo.
I think I heard about that. Yeah.
That shit was funny as hell because it was a classic, you know what I'm saying? A classic black mama moment. Mm-hmm. Like, they ain't going to do nothing with them flowers.
They going to throw them flowers away. Take them with.
Come on now, bring them
orchids.
He walking out the Oscars with the damn flowers to the limo.
That's funny as shit.
That was a classic moment.
Oh, man. What else is cracking with you, man?
Oh, man. It's, you know, black basketball season for my son.
Yeah. Black basketball season?
I said black. You know, okay. I was all fresh off of the black segment on the Golden Globes.
Gotcha.
So, you know what I'm saying? Black just rolled off the tongue.
Got it,
you know
got
what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm real comfortable with my blackness.
Okay, there you go. It just exudes.
Undeniably.
Just black.
Nah, basketball season.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? I've been checking out some games with my son. When I was out of town last week, you know, the week before the holidays, I was out of town. And, you know, he's having a rough time with his coach, putting him on the bench. You know? So he, you know, he called, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just done. I'm done with this. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know what I'm saying? The coach not giving me no playing time and da-da-da-da. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, sometimes the coach wants you to work for the playing time. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, you just, you know, you've been kind of spoiled, you know what I'm saying? Because you have never had to experience this, but.
Came easy.
You know what I'm saying? You know, not it came easy, you know what I'm saying? The teams, they needed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you was in systems where, you know, a lot of coaches are player coaches, but some coaches are systems coaches.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The systems coach is like, you know, you got to do exactly how I need it done, or I could put somebody else in that spot to do it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's not a player situation.
It's a cog in the wheel.
I'm building it so that I could put anybody in this situation to make it work. So, you know what I'm saying? He was having a hard time understanding it. So he was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to quit because it ain't worth my time because, you know, I go to practice every day, work out hard, and then I don't get no playing time. So I had to break that shit down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, man, this ain't no basketball lesson, man.
Hold on now. This is a black father's one-on-one right here? This is a black father's monologue you hit him with?
It's definitely a black father's monologue, but, you know what I'm saying, kind
of. Black fathers? Okay, go ahead.
So, you know what I'm saying, like, listen, man, this is not a basketball problem.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you either going to have to learn this now or you're going to have to learn it later, but you might as well learn it now since you're in the situation. Mm-hmm. This is a life lesson. This is, you're going to always deal with people, you know what I'm saying, who either not going to agree with you, you know what I'm saying, might not like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what you got to understand is how do you put yourself in a situation where you get the best out of it
mm-hmm.
and not walk away? You can't quit. So, you know what I'm saying? My thing with him was, you know, you after the season, you could do what you want, but you're going to finish what you started, and you're going to figure it out.
So quitting is out the question.
That's not an equation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because you had to figure out how to deal with people, even if they're difficult people. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
And the earlier you learn that shit, the better. So, you know what I'm saying? We went through, I'm giving them the whole Black Father's monologue.
How long? 20, 40 minutes?
It went about 15 minutes.
Okay.
On a solo, just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just a listening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, he hit me with.
I don't want to hear that shit.
Nah. He was like, he hit me with, you know what I'm saying? Now your kid's old enough to hit you with some logic and talk back and shit. So he hit me with, well, what if you had a client that didn't pay you? Would you still go back and, you know what I'm saying, work with that client? I'm like, hold on. I'm doing the motherfucking monologue over this motherfucker.
Let me find out you got some motherfucking,
don't need no parallels in this.
That is funny as shit.
But ironically.
It should turn into a duel.
But ironically, I had just had a scenario
okay.
where that was in full effect.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, you know what? You know what I'm saying? And in the end, you know what I'm saying? It partially benefited them. So it's like I had a client who did not pay. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about a situation where I had, you know what I'm saying, 10 other people that I hired on under my company. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? No, I did. I wanted to walk away from the job. I wanted to quit. Like, fuck this shit. I ain't dealing this shit. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to walk away. But at the end of the day, if I did not deliver, then I definitely couldn't pay the people that I brought on that trust me. You know what I'm saying? The crew that trust me with, you know what I'm saying, they their time and, you know what I'm saying, their livelihood basically for this particular project. So while I never got all of the money, but if I hadn't delivered the project, I wouldn't have got none of the money. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I got enough of the money to pay my people and get them out of the way, and I was able to hire those same people again on another project where we all made bread. So if I quit, I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? And then in the game, my name is bad. Mm-hmm. Not the client. Mm-hmm. My team ain't looking at the client like that motherfucker ain't pay me. Mm-hmm. They looking at me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sometimes you got to fucking follow through the shit.
Let's keep it funky, though. That Touche threw you off for a second. You had to double back.
I had to go through the files real quick.
You know what I'm saying? Argument level is reaching expert. well past intermediate. This shit is different.
I had to double back in the files and you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I guess that's how God do you. You know what I'm saying? You wonder why you go through certain situations. Sometimes you need that situation to bam, bam.
Just to inspire.
Just to inspire. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he went back, you know what I'm saying? Last couple games, he got his playing time back. And you know, he fighting through it now. Now you understand. You work.
Yeah. I got it. I mean, there it is. What's up? That is deep.
You ever wanted to quit?
Hell, I've quit before. I've quit a lot of different shit. That's about this? Currently, life?
Currently,
like,
life.
Because I think I had a time when you, especially when you like young, you know what I mean? Like high school and shit like that. Even through college, you could become like a bit of a dilettante. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I used to be that, like, and you know, there was a time when I was DJing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't that good. You know what I'm saying? After a while, I kind of let it fade out. I used to like graffiti and shit. And I let that fade. Like it was, you know, little shit like that. I don't really like to quit. You know what I mean? Cause I just, after a while, I take pride in getting all the way through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that takes a while. That takes a while because I think that's when you become an adult. You know, you're not even a man, but you become an adult. That's when you realize you're accountable. Right. When you're young, you can get that. You can get the wave of, oh, he's a kid. She's a kid. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll have people apologize for your actions until you call to the carpet and it's like, nah, that's not what's going to happen. You can't be that type of person. And it might have taken a situation where I had a family member hit me with, like, an elder hit me with the, you know, I'm disappointed.
Right.
You know, because that disappointment, when they hit you with the, I'm disappointed, that shit hit you. That's ether.
And see, you know what I'm saying? In situations in life, a lot of times when you're younger and nobody's paying attention to your moves, you know what I'm saying? It makes it easy to quit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if nobody really on you or nobody, you know what I'm saying, is there to tell you, you know what I'm saying, or check you on it, it's easy to quit.
Yeah.
And I know because I've been there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's easy to quit basketball. Nobody want to come to my game. No way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. I'm going to hang out with these girls. So, but when you get into life where, you know what I'm saying, at some point you're like, fuck that. I'm about to fight for this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to impart. Like, listen, you know what I'm saying? Get this now. You know what I'm saying? Understand that now. Because that concept, you know what I'm saying? You don't want that concept. You don't want to get it when it's late and you already done walked away from a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying?
And then you just give the people the power. You surrender your power when you quit. You know what I mean? Like, when you just walk away from an opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, now it's, you know, they got the opportunity. You don't got it no more. And, you know, now you fucked up. And you got to blame yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a difference between being let go or fired than quitting. Right. Like, if you quit and some shit pop, or something happened next, you're like, damn, you got to deal with that. You got to have to deal with that regret, and that regret is a motherfucker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I, you know, I think I grew up listening to, you know, I'm always one of these people that looks for the inspiration, you know, whether it's just from mentors, whether it's from music, it's books and shit. I was always one of them. I've always liked that whole underdog, top dog ascension. You know what I'm saying? You listen to a lot of motherfuckers from way back to Bismarck E, the Vapors,
right.
And then, you know, Hov, No Deal, and then now he the motherfucking man. Like, you gotta, you gotta tap into something and be like, okay.
Right.
You know, but I do remember there's a book called by Seth Godin. Seth Godin, it's called The Dip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and I read this early on in my career when I was trying, you know, I was getting into the comedy shit. And, you know, where, you know, when you try, we do any type of transition, but if you're trying to, you know, go chase a dream or something that is not even non-traditional, but something that you've always wanted, that's going to take some time to get to, there's plenty of moments where you can get discouraged, where you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? So I remember reading this one book called The Dip. Y'all should check it out. And it talks about, there's an actual dip in what you're doing to where when you start something, you embark on something, you typically go down into, you know, the process, the tedious process. Then you get to this point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really point of no return, but you get to that breaking point to where shit starts to turn into an upswing.
Right.
So they were like, well, listen, if you're going to quit, you need to quit before that shit starts to work out. Like, there was, it was telling you when you should quit if you wanted to quit.
Right.
I couldn't live with myself. You know what I mean? Especially because the thing is, and this is why I always, if I'm really into something, I'm really trying to do some shit, I let people know. You know what I mean? Because now it's not just on you. You're not holding it. And sometimes you might need some encouragement from outside. People be like, yo, I thought you was doing this. And just that little bit of be like, you know what? I didn't even realize you was paying attention, but hell yeah, I'm still doing that shit. Because you don't, you know plenty of mother. I've grown up with playing people. And I said, I've been that type of person where you know people got, yo, this is what I'm about to do this year, or this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure people are talking that right now. Right. We're 12 days into 2016.
Right.
This is the point where you realize, you know what, I might have set the bar a little high on these resolutions. This is some bullshit.
Right.
But if you put it out into the universe, you know what I mean, you don't know who's watching. You know what I mean? You don't know who you inspiring. You don't know who is tracking your moves. So when you just abandon some shit for no real reason, it just don't look good. It looks bad on your credit for life. You know what I mean? That's life credit shit. You know, you can't, you're not supposed to close out a credit card. Just, you know, fuck it. Just don't use that card, but keep that credit line open.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, so yeah, B, you got to stick to it. You should know that going in. I always tell people, you know, you got it. You got to know that shit. If you really want something, 9 times out of 10, shit's not going to be easy anyway.
Right.
It's going to take hard work, dedication, and commitment.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's going to get uncomfortable as a motherfucker, but you could get through it.
Right.
You know?
And so, I think for me, you know what I'm saying, I've been trying shit and doing shit and, you know what I mean, living on the edge for a minute, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Since teenager.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, the one thing that for me that keep it going is that I understand that this shit is an equation. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I was telling Chris earlier about the equation. And so at the end of the equation is what you want out of life, all of that shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I want this, I want that. I want my family still be good. I want a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I want to accomplish these things.
Yeah.
And all these other shits in the middle is variables and shit. But as long as I know I'm still working for the end result, you know what I'm saying? If the variables get difficult, you know what I'm saying? I know I could switch variables and move them here and do that shit. So I don't look at it as, you know what I'm saying, oh man, if I fail this one part of it, I'm just done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to pack up and I'm going to forget about that end result.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's going to happen. So as long as the end, my result is powerful enough, which it is at this point, which it just gets more and more.
Mm-hmm.
As closer you get, and you know what I'm saying, the more life experience you got and understand how important some of that shit is.
Because
when I came up with that shit, you didn't understand how important it was. It was just idealistic. But once you understand the importance of it, that shit drive you. It's almost like, you know what I'm saying, I don't know what it would take, you know what I'm saying, just to fucking just walk away.
But you know what? I want to add to that. Well, one, I want to ask you, when was the last time you quit? What do you remember anything that you quit that maybe you regret or, you know, have you been a quitter? Ever?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've quit a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The first company I started was a TV show. And, you know, it was six of us and three of us wasn't getting along with the other three. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? At some point, we was just like, man, fuck it. And I walked away because, mm-hmm. you know, in my mind, you're young, you know what I'm saying? You got a bunch of ideas. You're like, man, I got a million ideas. This is just one. You know what I'm saying? This mm-hmm. is just some shit I thought of on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you walk away and then they run on with it. It wasn't that it was super successful, but at the end of the day, it was yours.
And it was still alive.
It was still alive and it was your shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You fucking named it. You fucking, you know what I'm saying? Conceptualized it and you see it ride out. And you know what I'm saying? And like I said, it didn't last no whole long time, make no huge impact, but it still was your shit.
The worst is when people be like, weren't that your shit?
Right.
You're like,
or then when you hear the story revised and shit, yeah. like, you know what I'm saying?
It was their shit.
Oh, yeah, it was their shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You meet other motherfuckers who worked on it later, and they be like, yeah, when such and such, you know what I'm saying, made such and like, what the fuck?
Or even worse, when they be like, when fucking Ali lost faith. He be like, God damn.
Now, I ain't never heard that one, but you know what I'm saying? It's in your own self. You like you look at it like, you know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have just walked away from that shit. You know what I'm saying? After that, you know what I'm saying? I pretty was steadfast with my shit. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I know when I got to New York, I didn't know had a specific thought. When I got down to motherfucking 50 Cent. Uh-huh. And you know what I'm saying? I had a meeting. I had the vibe meeting. And I'm like, yo, this shit's so crazy. I can't even afford to quit. I can't even buy a ticket home. I'm shit. This shit got to work.
Point and overturn.
You know what I'm saying? You was in the dip like a motherfucker. Like yeah. That was my exact thought. I'm like, damn, I can't quit if I motherfucking wanted to.
I can't even cash out.
But then you see how they be saying, see how God worked?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Next day I had a little meeting and all of the little things that I thought was problems, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, was answered. You know what I'm saying? That shit. You come right around the corner and then boom, within a year of that, shit, my whole fucking life was totally, I couldn't even recognize my life from that day to a year later.
That shit will, it enlightens, it gives you another lease on life. You like, wow. You know like sometimes you need that moment like, oh shit.
You know what I'm saying?
And you'll say to yourself, yo, had I quit, I wouldn't even been in this position. And mm-hmm. that type of shit is what strengthens the resolve.
Exactly.
But I tell you this. This is something that you dropped on me early on. Because when you get older or whatever, you got family or you got a lady or you got somebody you dealing with. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's not just you anymore, right?
Right,
so now
right.
you got people that are kind of watching from the outside. And they, you know, they looking at the track
mm-hmm.
and they obviously, they can't be in your shoes. So they're not as invested as you are. They can mm-hmm. only see it from their perspective.
Right.
And I remember talking about that because, you know, you might have your lady or somebody mm-hmm. that might be holding you down or whatever. And they kind of like, well, what's up?
Right.
And I remember one thing you told me, and this is real shit. It can't just be... When you articulate your vision can't be a I vision anymore. Right. It's got to be a we. It's got to be like, this is what it is. It's a State of the Union address.
Exactly.
It's like, this is what we going to do. This mm-hmm. is how this is going to work. And when this works, it's going to impact us in this fashion. So at that point, you start to build a team. You start to bring people who become a little bit more invested.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of those things that you... You know, I would have never thought that, you know, but it's just a tiny change in your language.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's like this, man. You know, you are accountable to these people. Like, I got, you know what I'm saying, kids, wife, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm accountable to these people. And I learned from early on when doing the TV show and doing other little businesses that you're not going to be able to explain your vision and make people understand it the way you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to show them. And mm-hmm. the bigger that shit get, it take longer to show them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So you do each step of the way, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying, throughout the process have to drop those State of the Unions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like my shit working like a motherfucker, right? Uh-huh. But then my wife looking at the shit like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Well, what you gonna do next?
What's popping?
You know what I'm saying? What's cracking? And then you got to already, you know what I'm saying? You already got to know. You got to be able to break that shit down. Because she don't see it. She don't see what I see. You know what I'm saying? She don't go to work with me. She don't, you know what I'm saying, see the, you know, what the process or the invoices or none of that shit. Mm-hmm. She just know, okay, well, you know, we got to do this. Or this is looming. Mm-hmm. How are we going to handle that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I got to be able to have answers for it. You know what I'm saying? And I can't feel no kind of way about that. Because they own the team, they should know. Or your biggest job as an entrepreneur is to be able to sell your vision.
Yeah.
And the hardest motherfucker to sell it to is those closest to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you could almost get upset when you have to explain your vision because you feel like you should be down from the door.
Right.
But you know, shit.
Luckily, I learned those lessons early. Cause I done burnt through some relationships just based on the fact that you don't understand you coming against me.
Yeah, and the ego.
Oh, you saying my vision is whack. You know what I'm saying? I remember this girl told me, does the world need another producer? Like, what? Are you motherfucking crazy? Are you out your mind? You know what I'm saying? The world needs me. God damn it.
That'd be the worst way to kill a motherfucking dream in an offhand fake rhetorical ass question. Does the world need
Duh, that question right there changed my whole fucking perspective because
make you answer that question.
One, you have to answer it. Two, you realize that you've done a piss poor job selling your vision.
Mm.
And three, in that situation, you know what I'm saying? I have been at a point where, you know what I'm saying, you might have been a little wishy-washy on it, like, you know what I'm saying, all right, well, if you want me to do this, then I'll try that, but I'm gonna still do my thing on the side or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? By the time I got here and got with my wife, I understood. I was glad I learned that lesson because I understood that there can be no wavering in your vision, in your stance. You got to stand on top of your rock and be unmovable because motherfucker gonna test you to see if you bought your shit.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, well, maybe we should do this or maybe we should do that. And you might think about, hey, you know, how does that affect the situation? But at the end of the day, man, I can't move off of where I'm at. And what I'm doing, because if I move off of it, I can't win at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Moving off of it, wavering, that shit is, they see that shit as, that's just like blood in the water to a shark. Mm. Like, oh, he ain't really, he don't believe that
he
shit.
He ain't committed.
He don't believe it. So why should I?
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real talk.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be on top of your shit and stand with your fucking chest out and believe that shit and say that shit like you mean it and get out there and do that shit like you mean it.
That's what's up. Well, like, shit.
Sometimes it take longer than expected, but shit, you got to be out there with your flag, dog.
Stay down till you come up, as Young Jeezy would say. Listen, this is what I want to tell y'all, are y'all listening. I want y'all to go out there into the world and proudly proclaim that you are In The Conversation fans.
You know what I'm saying?
I want you to retweet these links when we put this up in the world. You know what I'm tell saying? A friend to tell a friend.
Wave that flag.
Yeah, man. Leave a review. Talk to us. You know, shit. We trying to build something over here.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Snapchatters. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Checking in real heavy.
Yeah, man. I wish I gotta get my snap. I need a Snapchat tutorial because some people have Snapchatted at me, and then I don't really know
what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Sometimes I don't even. Some of this shit. This is probably the toughest. There's points where I don't know. Maybe it's my phone. The Snapchat, do you ever get this shit where it says something's loading, you got one thing, the shit keeps spinning?
Yeah.
I'm like, is that my phone fucking up? How do I get back to these people? Whatever. But listen, the love is felt.
No, I'm saying.
I appreciate it, definitely. You know, I hit you on all the other platforms. I gotta get me a little remedial Snapchat class going on. But listen, stay committed to In The Conversation. We got some new shit coming. We got some things. So y'all might want to stay invested.
Nah, man.
Don't quit on us.
You know what I'm saying? But never quit.
Hell nah. But before we go, Muhammad, tell the people where you're going to be.
Man, I'm going to be on that Snapchat, Thorough TV, T-H-O-R-O-T-V. You know what I'm saying? That Mr. Muhammad on all the other platforms. And shit, other than that, man, I'll catch me in Brooklyn in these streets.
Right. That's unless you win that Powerball.
Then you won't find me.
Snapchat is deleted. Oh, man. Listen, I'm going to be out here. I'm in the world. I got a bunch of shows. I'm at Stand Up New York Heavy this Saturday. So check that out. I got a bunch of different shows. And as always, you know, you can see my schedule on DamianLemon.com. But I got a bunch of stuff. I'm in the city. You know what I mean? Working on some new material. So come out, man. Show love. And as always, like we said, man, tell a friend to tell a friend. And your enemies, too.
Get in the conversation.
We out. Peace.